In 1989, a national treasure was taken from the airwaves by a cruel and heartless broadcaster. Despite a failed attempt at a revival some years later, it wasn't until the 21st century that someone had the great idea to bring it back. But what if it had never gone away? What if Doctor Who had stayed in production these past 20-odd years in a two-decade-long downward spiral of reduced budgets and increased viewer apathy? What if season 24 was only the beginning and not the beginning of the end?
The control room is become infested. The plant creature has access to the temporal mainframe and is preparing to pilot the ship into the sun.
Yes. Garrison here, come quick. Come quick.
Doctor, what do you need? Doctor.
Now listen carefully, young man. Come quick, we need to reverse the magnetic field and drive the light spectrum into the ultraviolet. The plant's covalutian enzymes will break apart. And the creature will die! Yes!
But Doctor, I can't reach the induction modulator! It's growing!
Cut! Cut!
What? What? That was perfect!
Polarity. Polarity. How hard is that, Godfrey? Please, it's one word. Reverse the polarity of the magnetic field.
David! Well, I appreciate that you are the director, and it's very nice that the BBC are saving up your bob by letting you direct your own script. You do realise, don't you, that that joke died around the same time Thatcherism did? Hmm? Only the total mimmongs get it, and not even they still laugh at it anymore. Hmm?
Yes, Godfrey, but since we have bugger all marketing budget, the only publicity we get is when the internet-based mingmongs, as you describe them, get excited. And hopefully the Sun or some other arse-rag tabloid will pick up on it and cut and paste a comment from Gallifrey Base rather than actually bothering to write something themselves. If, shall we say, word gets out that Episode 5 features a reverse the polarity moment, that is spoiler gold to the forums, and it potentially gets the show a little bit of attention.
Oh, my lord and master, the executive producer has spoken. Or should that be executive penny-pinching tight-ass?
Godfrey, just say the bloody line and let's get on with it. Come on. We've only got the Plant Man suit till the end of the day, or the exhibition people will want to charge us extra for it. Try to pretend like you're an actor, and that the director is in charge, and we'll see where that gets us, eh?
Oh, tosser.
Bless you. Dave, when you finally get this in the can, come and see me in the office, will you? I need a chat about... Well, I'll tell you when you've done.
Will do, Terry. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, and actors... If you wouldn't mind indulging me one more time, we'll see if we can wonderfully and artistically transfer the majesty of the written word onto the small screen this time, shall we? The Doctor is clinging to the hat stand. Come Quick is clinging to the console. Covalusian Plant Man, if you can carry on improvising with the random control functions and, stuff. Okay. Cue smoke machine. And... action.
Doctor! 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 The control...
Would you like a drink, William?
Yes, Godfrey, thanks. That's really very nice of you.
Yes. I think the cleaner left an old can of dandelion and burdock on the dressing table up there. Have that, will you? Says me throwing it away.
Oh. Thanks, Godfrey. It's already open.
Good. It means I won't need to do it for you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's fluff around the hole. Little hair caught in the ring. It's short and curly. I can't get my tongue in the hole. Maybe I can get it with my teeth. Oh, that's better.
So, what do you think all that was about today, then?
Or what, Godfrey?
All that mystery with Terence and David and that meet me in the office stuff.
I don't know, Godfrey. Maybe he wanted to talk about the show.
Ha! Terry Proudfoot! Maybe the executive producer, but he couldn't give a fiddler's pluck about the show. He hates being here more than I do. The last thing he's going to do is arrange extra meetings with writers and directors. No, no, no. It's something else. I can feel it. There's something going on.
Well, maybe he's got a new project lined up and wants to talk to Dave about writing or directing or something.
Something new? Ha ha ha! Terry, don't be so thick, William. They don't send you to exec produce Doctor Who if they have any intention of ever offering you something new. This is where producers come to work out the last few years of their BBC contracts, when Auntie doesn't want them near anything worthwhile. Doctor Who is the television equivalent of Torquay. It's where knackered old bags get packed off to die in relative obscurity, in the sad belief it's going to be sunny.
My mummy wants my granny to move to Torquay.
How do I find out, Billy?
Find out about what, Godfrey?
Find out what they're plotting, you mollusk!
You could ask them.
Yes, that's a good idea. Brilliant! Good work, Billy! Excuse me, Terry, just wondering what you and Simple Dave are scheming on behind my back. Not being nosy or anything, no, you gibbet! It's the subtlety, planning, subterfuge!
Am I going to get hurt again?
No, 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 no. Not this time, William. Well, certainly nothing like the time we needed to know what was in that cage on stage 7, eh? I think I've got an idea. Chin chin.
Why do you always have to sit outside, Shirley? It's not that warm, you know.
To smoke, David. To smoke lots and lots of fags, so that I don't have to kill some poor innocent sod for looking at me the wrong way on the bus home. Because I've had to spend another day on that hellhole of a set. How you don't smoke is a bloody mystery to me. You do realise what show you're working on, don't you? Have you had a stress bypass? Or are you actually as stupid as you look?
That's a filthy habit, Shirley, and I don't think that while we work on a show for children, that it's a very good example for the makers of said show to be seen in public sucking down deadly toxins like it's a good thing.
Right, here's the drinks. Who's got a fag? I'm gagging. Thank you, Shirl. Oh, sweet Jesus, Dave, how do you not smoke? You just spent all day with the man and you're drinking J2O as well.
Well, as I was just telling Shirley...
You preach at me one more time about the evil weed and I'll stab this Marley out in your eye.
What about you, young Mark? Do you smoke? Sorry, I've not spent as much time with you as I really should have, your first day on the job and all, but it's been a pig of a day.
Well, sometimes I have a ciggy when I've had a few beers.
Part-timer.
What? Sorry.
Ignore Shirley. Most people do, unless they want a racing tip or a Valium.
You cheeky sod. Young man, I am the longest serving member of this production team. I started out as a seamstress in the 1960s, stitching Billy Hartnell seams and darning Carol Ann Ford's gym knickers. And I worked my way up through the ranks, and I'm now the longest serving wardrobe mistress in British television history. And if it weren't for that frickin' Michael Grade giving us all a year off, I'd hold the consecutive world record instead of that American sea cow who just drapes a suit on a glorified news-reading monkey on the Today Show. Do you know, that fat sapper got a lifetime achievement from the sodding Emmys last year. I, on the other hand, have spent nearly 20 years sticking my hand up Godfrey Butcher's inside leg and endured in good temper every time he has said the word, go on, Cheryl, give it a tickle. And the most the BBC has ever given me was a pigging hamper one Christmas.
Wow, that's impressive. Well, not the inside leg thing, that's a bit nasty, actually. But You must really love the show to have been here that long. Sorry, did I say something funny?
Sorry, mate. You're new and you're young. We shouldn't take the mickey. Honestly, no one likes working on Doctor Who. Even Dave here is a lifelong fanboy. Even he hates the job, don't you, Dave?
Well, I'd say that hate is a bit strong. I still love Doctor Who, and I think deep down we all do. But working on it does happen to bring you into contact with the devil himself.
Oh, you mean Godfrey? Sorry, Mr. Butcher. He doesn't seem very popular with the crew. How come he's still doing it? I mean, wasn't the longest one before him 6 or 7 years or something? How long has he been at it?
18 years. And he'll never leave while there's a paycheck to be had from it.
But aren't you in charge? Like, the executive producer's supposed to be the showrunner these days? Can he just, I don't know, replace him?
Ah, the impossible dream. Therein lies the problem, young Mark. Let me explain. 25 years ago, Godfrey Butcher made his one stage appearance in London, a play called The Timid Major, a piece so devoid of colour and style that The Guardian described it as panda cheese. But by chance it was seen by a very influential personage. She was enthralled by him, God knows how or why, but it was reported in the papers that she found him to be an exciting and talented young actor who would be destined for great things. Anyway, after Sylvester left the show and there was the awful year of Which We Never Speak with David Hasselhoff in the role, and of course, followed by all that talk of cancellation, well, the then executive producer had a brainwave. He remembered this butcher bloke from the papers and thought that the DG wouldn't dare cancel the show if Her Majesty's favourite actor was the star.
You see, Mark, it's a well-known fact within the industry that the only reason anyone ever takes the job of Director General of the BBC is in the hope of getting a knighthood. Sack her favourite actor, and it's bye-bye seat in the Lords.
So, anyway, Godfrey Butcher is announced as the ninth Doctor Who, and every DG since has tried to make the show so unwatchably bad that hopefully Her Madge will get fed up of the old ham, thereby allowing them to cancel the programme, redirecting the funding to their own pet project and still keep the peerage intact. Meanwhile, Godfrey is untouchable. People like me get sent to Doctor Who as a punishment. I got sent here just because I pissed off one of the bigwigs when I did a panorama about the Icelandic banks.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Terry didn't know that the chairman of the bank they targeted was the DG's brother-in-law, you see. And he'd push some hedge fund money to and fro, making the losses on his sister's husband's investment seem a lot worse than they were. For when the UK compensation claims got sorted, oh, there was a right ruckus. DG nearly lost his job. Inquiry this, investigation that. It seemed to go on for ages.
Yeah, anyway, long story short, I was on a 5-year BBC contract with 4.5 years to run, and my reward for the exposé was a 4-year stint on Doctor Who. I have to make an effort and make the show work, or when I finally do work out the contract, no one in the Independents will touch me. Meanwhile, Godfrey swans about like he owns the place, and I'm powerless to do anything about it. And of course, the fans all blame me for its decline.
So what about that Billy bloke, the one who plays the assistant? He's been here nearly as long as Godfrey, hasn't he? And no offence, but he doesn't seem, well, smart enough to employ any sort of leverage like Godfrey's got. Is he a bit simple or what?
Billy? Oh God, Billy? William Billy Oldroyd is to acting what Kerry Katona is to social anthropology, and he has a brain made of cinder toffee. But, in his favour, he loves Godfrey Butcher in a way that most people find not only unbelievable, considering what a tosser Godfrey is, but also rather unsettling. There is nothing he wouldn't do for the man, and Godfrey spotted that very early on.
Oh, yes, yes, his character come quick. Was originally scripted in for a 6-part story 16 years ago. The script called for the teenage alien boy whose innocence is matched only by his scientific genius. The name Cumquick was a joke and was meant to be a short-term running gag, you know. Cumquick, come quick sort of thing. 6 episodes. That was it.
Yeah, but day one of the shoot saw him fawning all over Godfrey like a love-struck what's-it. He was only 25 at the time, Billy, so a bit older than Godfrey normally likes him, but he was a genuine fan, and fetched Godfrey coffee and lunch, told him how wonderful he was, and basically waited on him hand and foot. Not missing a trick, Godfrey waltzed into the production office, demanded Billy get full companion status, and that was it. They had to rewrite the next 12 episodes, 3 full 4-parters, to accommodate this new character. Apparently, legend goes that that year they had managed to save enough money to pay for the Daleks for the final story of the series as well, but the wages for a new full-time cast member pissed that up the wall, and they had to use the bloody Quarks instead. Several producers and script editors have tried to write him out in the last decade and a half, but it's no good. Godfrey has a manservant, and the show is saddled with a companion played by a 41-year-old man still trying to play his character of his teenage boy genius, despite the fact that he's 8 stone heavier, considerably bolder than he was 16 years ago, thick as a plank, oh, yeah, and still can't act.
Your job, lad, as production assistant, is to avoid coming into contact with either of them for as long as you can. If Godfrey gets his hands on you, you'll either end up his prison bitch, or he has you sacked. And if Billy thinks Godfrey likes you, he'll probably pee in your coffee, if you're lucky.
As always, you have such a delightful turn of phrase, Shirley.
Well, thanks for the advice, but I'm sure I can deal with them. What?
Let me tell you something. You know the current DG, Stanley Redfern, yeah? Well, last year he hired a new PA. Stanley's been trying to get this new early evening magazine show thing off the ground for ages. He calls it Project One Show, and the only thing getting in his way is budget and studio space. This new PA is called Max Harper, and is apparently ex-Special Forces and ex-MI5. Now, the gossip is that he's there just to try and publicly discredit Godfrey Butcher, so that her Madge sees what a total creep he really is, so that Stanley can cancel the show and use the budget in the studio to make this one-show thing. Now, the fact that a bloke who makes James Bond look like James Corden can't take one apparently docile old thespout of the picture should tell you something about what a devious little weasel Godfrey Butcher actually is.
Shirley's right, Mark. Best thing to do with Godfrey is just try and keep out of his way. As best you can.
Morning, Mr. Redfern. I have a call on line 3 from someone at Digital Spy. You know, that internet-y thing that sometimes phones up for quotes about Doctor Who and stuff. They want to know if you have any comment on the Kevin Costner story.
The what now?
Well, the bloke says it's to do with a rumour that...
Oh, stop right there. Tell them no comment. If it's a rumour, I'm not getting caught up in the debate until we know exactly which side gets me best coverage. I don't even want to know what it is. Just in case I accidentally form an opinion. I'll just get rid. And tell them we don't feel now is the appropriate time to make a comment. Yes, but we may get back to them in due course. Etc.
Will do, boss. Max is here. By the way, shall I send him in?
Oh yes, please. But not until the coffee's made. He can make himself useful and bring it up with him. Okay, who's top of the list today? Spam. Spam, spam. Do I want a bigger... Oh. Maybe I do. I'll save that one to favourites. Here we go. Oh, Anton de Beck again. Dear Mr. Redfern, blah blah blah. Claudia what? Winkle person. Tess? Oh yes, her. Oh yes, we like her. What's she on about? That's supposed to be my gig, yes. Do you think I put myself through the indignity of hole in the wall for the good of my health? Sort it out, you old fruit. Sack the mop-haired dwarf woman, get Blondie back in second spot, and give me the top job. What? What the photos of you and Bruno Tonioli go to the Murdochs? What a poncy little hoofer. I'll have him shot. Come in, Max. I hope you've got the coffee.
Yes, sir. Just how you like it. Everything all right, sir?
Well, Anton de Beck's threatening to blackmail me. If we don't get in the Strictly host job again... Well...
You want me to deal with it, sir?
Well, with all due respect, Max, I brought you here to help me get rid of that bloody Godfrey Butcher. And we're still no closer to getting that studio space. Now, are we?
Sorry, sir, I am on it, but I need to ensure plausible deniability for you, sir. I do have a plan that's on the go at the moment, though, that might work out. Shall I tell you what it is?
Yes, Max. Tell me all about it. Why don't you? Really help with a plausible deniability side of things now, won't it? If I'm in on it from the bloody start...
Sorry, sir, I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm not actually sure that you were thinking, Max. Now, unless you have anything useful to tell me, off you toddle and get on with besmirching Butcher. Get me that bloody studio, will you?
Roger that.
What?
What was that? Roger what?
Sorry, sir, it's what they say in 24 and CSI and stuff. I thought it sounded cool and, sort of operational. And, sir?
For the love of Mary, just go, Max. Just remember, Butcher gone and Studio Free makes Stanley happy. Oh, and Max, well paid.
Roger, yes, sir. No problem, sir. Will do, sir. Count on me, sir.
Just get out!
Yes, Mr. Redfern.
Get me Anton de Beck. Right. Favourites. And when you get 5 minutes, you can come in here and show me how to set up a... what's this called? A PayPal account. There's an urgent online transaction I need to make.
Will do, sir.
Bigger, eh?
Radio check. Security post 12. Concourse outside Studio 4. Nothing report beyond the usual fat waste of space pitching his fan base. Over and out. Now then, Lezza. You can't leave that there. Come on. You know the rules. Tents on the concourse are a health and safety issue. And you've no risk assessment paperwork. So move it over there by the bins.
Or better yet, you could just sit in the bin.
Oh, you two think you're so funny, don't you? I need to see someone today. It's really, really important.
What's up, Lezzer? Has the online community come up with a theory that Gallifrey is made of spam? Or that Dalek is an acronym for Doctor and Leslie enjoy kissing?
Yeah. Or that Daleks aren't really robots and are little one-eyed mutants inside driving them around, eh?
Ken, shut up.
There was a report on the internet, and it's proper, not one of those silly forum rumours.
You mean like the ones you make up?
This is on a proper news website. From America, I'll have you know.
Ooh, America is it? Well, it must be true then. American website said so. So, is it about Daleks?
No, it's not about Daleks. It's about the show. And it's really important. Wait. Hang on. Are the Daleks coming back? Why do you keep going on about Daleks? We've given up hope of the Daleks ever coming back. Are the Daleks coming back? What do you know about the Daleks?
I can't get a Wi-Fi signal. Is anyone in the office yet? Tell someone to turn the web on. I need to report this in. I'll get hundreds of karma kicks if I get this out first.
Well, if I see or hear anything on the grapevine about Daleks, Lezzer, don't you worry. You'll be the first to know. Honest. Now move your bloody tent over there. And if you stink the place out with leftover curry again, I'll put a Dalek plunger to an interesting new use, one for which I'm sure it was never intended back in 1963, and that might be medically termed invasive.
Ooh. Ouch. Okay. But I still need to talk to someone about the Costner issue.
I don't want to know, do I?
Probably not, Kenneth. What Costner issue would that be, Lezzer?
Oh, I'm sorry, boys. It's not something I can discuss with security. If you aren't in the loop and you don't know what I'm talking about, then I'm afraid there's no point in trying to explain it.
Can I chin him, Gary? Just a little chinning? Not a big jaw-breaking job. Just a little love tap?
Sadly not, Kenneth. The law forbids it. But if our Lezer is going to be a swarmy little git, then he can kiss Tartar to his exclusive, can't he?
Exclusives? When have you ever given me anything genuinely useful, or even true, for that matter? Every time you promised a new female companion, it never transpired, and that rubbish about a cyber spaniel episode got me laughed off the boards for a whole week.
There was the Romana exclusive?
Oh, yes. The Romana exclusive. How did that go again? Romana is set to return, played by Keira Knightley, and is heavily pregnant. The story would also reveal that time ladies go through a 25-year gestation period. So who is the father? I had to set up a new account on the base after that one, so that no one knew that I was the total idiot who started the Romana rumour.
Let that be a lesson, Lezer. Never believe what you read on the internet, especially if it's about Doctor Who.
Now then, Faithache, here's that new cravat that Dave said you need. Do you want me to tie it for you? I could fasten it with piano wire if it's a bit loose.
Ah, Shirley! As ever, the lady. I'll put the thing on myself if that's all right. You look like you dressed yourself this morning, dearie. And haggard old gin sot isn't a look I think the doctor needs to aspire to, eh? Have you seen Terence, by the way? I need a chat.
I think he might be hiding in your dressing room with a harpoon. Or was that just a happy dream I had? Or you might try the office. You know, that place where people do some work?
Ah, yes, the poor unfortunates to whom all this does not come naturally. It must be terrible to need to put such effort into one's art. I imagine it somewhat ruins the fun.
Godfrey?
Oh, there you are. You need to see this, I think.
Do you mind, William? I was enjoying baiting the voluminous harpy over there. This had better be important.
Yeah, but look at it, Godfrey.
William, the last time you showed me anything on that smartphone of yours, it was a video of the so-called celebrity panel from ScarboCon 13, where a fan asked Chrissy Bidmead about my rumoured legendary flatulence, and he was all too happy to regale. I'm not eager to repeat the experience, so please, take it away.
No, Godfrey, it's just a news site, no video. Just read it.
No, very well. Let's see. Go! Oh, Doctor Who hits the big time! What on earth? Hollywood Reporter. No. Failing British sci-fi show. Cliched old joke. Dum-de-dum. Kevin Costner met me. What? This is a joke! What? Which piss-particle little web thing he has written this shabby pack of lies?
That'll be the BBC News website, Godfrey.
Hey, Duchess. What's got your knickers in a twist?
Oh, Christ, Benny. We can't let anyone else know about this till we've got a good story on why I'm not mentioned. Nothing for you to get your hands in a knot over, you old heifer.
But you are mentioned, Godfrey. Look, here it says, Godfrey Butcher, who at first glance appears well beyond his 59 years, has apparently not been approached to appear. Prospective producer Costner commented, "We want to make it as highbrow and far removed from the current TV farce as we can. We want a few things linking into the bad side of the show as possible. And let's be honest, Godfrey Butcher is pretty much worse."
All right, for the luck to wait it out loud, you crash test dummy!
Sorry, Godfrey, but is it true? Are they really going to make a Hollywood blockbuster?
Blood and sand, Billy! Shut up! I need to think. How the hell am I going to put a spin on this?
All right, everybody, can I have your attentions, please? Before we start on today's shooting, I need to have a word with everyone regarding some rumours that have sprung up overnight that might well be playing on your minds. If you can all just stop what you're doing and gather round, folks. Thank you.
Ooh, this sounds interesting. I wonder what he's going to talk to us about, Godfrey.
You really mean that, don't you? You haven't got a clue!
Exciting, isn't it?
Okay, so as some, if not all of you, already know, last night a report on one of the American celebrity gossip websites blogged an interview with Kevin Costner. He was on his way out of the premiere of Waterworld 6 and was asked about any future plans to dip into the realms of science fiction. I've printed off a copy of his reply and posted it on the notice board so that everyone can have a look, and I've got loads spare in case anyone rips it down. But, in a nutshell, Costner said that he is in negotiation with the BBC to produce a full Hollywood remake of Doctor Who. He makes it clear that it would not be a continuation of the TV show in any way, and would be a Hollywood reimagining, whatever the hell that means. The whole thing's gone viral. BBC, PA, CNN, Sky News, Al Jazeera, etc., etc., all running with it as a lightweight and in other news piece, and so on. Can I ask that you read the article and please not pester me with questions, because I imagine I'll be on the phone a lot today, and once you have read it, you will genuinely know as much as I do about the whole thing.
So, are we all getting a boot then?
Shirley, as far as I'm concerned, the contracts that we're all working on for this series are firm, and if they did sack us, they'd have to still pay us for it. So I'm fairly sure you're still going to have to turn up for the rest of the run. Sorry about that, my love. You will still have to labour for your gin.
Ooh, look at this. That Costner's chap's not very nice about you, Godfrey. Wah, you could probably sue him for some of the things he says in here.
Nah, Dave, a judge wouldn't find against someone who was telling the truth.
I'm in my dressing room. Make sure whichever chimpanzee you send to give me my call gives me enough time to actually get on set this time. It'll be so nice to work with your professional once in a while rather than just the odd. Damn.
Something wrong, Godfrey?
No, really, of course not. I can't imagine what would give you a silly idea like that. Only the Captain Terry Proudfoot and the good ship stab Godfrey in the arse. Just made me look like a complete burk in front of the whole cast and crew.
At least he didn't read it out loud to everybody. I thought it was quite nice of him, really. There's that bit where that Robin Hood fellow, he said you got a face like a walrus sucking a popsicle. What's a popsicle?
There's something not right, Billy. They're out to get me, all of them. Don't look like that. I'm not being paranoid.
I don't know what that word means. I'm still trying to work out what popsicle might be.
First Stanley Bloody Redfern hires an MI5 goon to try and blacken my name. As if Her Majesty's Secret Service is training enough to beat me at sneakery. And then there was that secret meeting with Terry and Dave after shooting before they went to the pub last night. I still don't know what all that was about.
You could always just ask.
I've already told you not to be so stupid. Teddy and Dave would just laugh at me even more if I went snivelling up to them, trying to find out what they were up to.
No, I didn't mean them. There were four of them that went to the pub. I saw them.
Four? It's normally just the unholy trinity who sidled off to the Oak. Assuming that one of the others was the old sewing crone, who was the other one?
Oh, his name's Mark something. He's a new production assistant. He only just started yesterday.
So he might know what they were talking about at their little get-together without even realising its importance. I think we need to get to this Mark, don't you, William?
Here's what I think. I think he's a bit of a pretty boy who could do with a bit of a kick in the ribs.
Pretty boy, eh? This gets better and better. I think we'll invite young Mark for drinkies this evening. And by we, I of course mean I.
You mean I'm not allowed?
William, the last time I had a drink with someone you described as a pretty boy, it was that lovely young chap who came to interview me from the Doctor Who magazine lot. Benny, I think his name was.
Benjamin Bloody Cook, thank you.
Yes, that was it. Now, as I recall, he and I were having a rare old time chatting about the olden days, and you got all jealous and added a mixer to his spritzer that wasn't in any cocktail recipe I've ever read. No wonder the interview was cut from the magazine in favour of that article. Come quick, I've been poisoned. I could have had my face all over W.H. Smith's. Instead, they ran a two-page spread on how you poured wee-wee into a Tom Collins. Anyway, we won't be having a repeat of that fiasco. You will take young Mark this note, tell him I expect him at 5:30, and then you can tidy this place up a bit. Not too much, though. Don't want it to seem like we've made an effort.
And of course by we, you mean I.
Okay, Mark. What we are doing today is, very similar, yet very different to what we did yesterday.
Okay. That sort of makes sense. Oh, hang on. We did that at college. What do you call it? Pickups. Yeah. Is that why Billy, sorry, Mr. Oldroyd, is wearing that stupid-looking thing on his head?
You know, I'm not sure he is wearing anything on his head, actually. His face just seems extremely red indeed. Morning, Billy!
Message for you.
Me?
5:30. Don't let him down.
Did that just happen? Did something resembling an angry radish just stick a manky post-it in my hand and speak to me like he was some sort of automatic answering service?
Oh dear.
What? What's the matter?
Remember the warnings we were giving you last evening about avoiding having to dance with the devil?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, it looks like the option has been taken from you, my lad. The devil has chosen to send you your dance card pre-filled. And if I were you, I wouldn't expect to lead. Do you know the poker?
Is it rude of me to say that sometimes I haven't got a clue what you're on about?
That note, if I'm not mistaken, is an invitation to attend upon His Lordship Godfrey Butcher. The fact that Billy seems so distressed by it would indicate that Godfrey has taken a shine to you, young Mark. Be wary. Be very wary.
Wary? Of what? I play rugby, you know. I don't think I can handle some dodgy old actor, no matter how weird he might be.
He will be after something from you, dear boy. Be on your guard.
Well, bollocks then, I won't go. I don't want to have drinks with some camp old weirdo who wants something from me.
Oh no, Mark. You must go. You can't turn him down. Not if you want to keep your job. You must go. And you must make him think that you like him. But you must also appear naive and not fully understanding of any approaches he may make. Outright deny him his demands, and he'll make your life a living hell. You may escape his clutches if you feign ignorance. Granted, ignorance is no guarantee of escaping his clutches. Billy Oldroyd is proof enough of that. But it is probably your safest option.
Or I could kick him in the knackers and tell him to go...
Not if you want to keep a career in the industry as a long-term goal, young man. Getting the boot from Doctor Who is a TV industry equivalent of a medical examination by Dr. Kevorkian. Not entirely good for one's future prospects.
We're back in not understanding a bloody word you're saying territory again. But I think I get the drift.
This will be your first lesson in playing the game, dear boy. 5:30, and I would advise you not to shower before you go.
Lovely.
Right, Lezzer, I've just got off the blow with the lot upstairs, and I'm going to give you one warning. The boss is on his way down for a smoke, so you are going to keep your sweaty gob under control, aren't you?
What? Terry Proudfoot? Executioner-in-chief of Doctor Who is coming down here? Now? OMG!
Now, you see, that's just what I mean, Lezzer. According to the new BBC charter, I can't physically kick you in the pods and throw you down the stairs like we could in the 80s. But if I hear you saying stuff like that in front of him, I might just forget myself for a minute and leave Kenneth here off the chain and go for a pasty. Catch my drift?
Sorry, Gary. Really? I'll be civil. And can you make him stop looking at me like that? It makes me need the toilet.
Leave him be for now, Ken. But he was rude to Mr. Proudfoot, though. You can take him round the back of the bins and give him that little love tap you mentioned earlier.
Uh-huh.
Terry, I've got no fags on me. Will you shift your arse and get down here?
I'm on my way, Shirley. Calm down, will you? I'll just be a minute.
Now then, boys. Health tricks.
Not bad, Shirley, my love, and you?
Oh, it's hit the fan in there, all right, I can tell you. All that Kevin Costner internet stuff. Everybody thinks the show's getting cancelled. And half of them are crapping themselves that they'll never work again. And the other half can't wait to get out. Godless Godfrey's losing his mind. Oi! What do you want, you sweaty little toad?
Sorry, nothing. I just heard you talking about the Costner thing and was wondering if you knew anything about...
Now then, who's this then?
Sorry, Mr. Proudfoot. This here is Lesser. He sits here every day gathering moss and generally getting in the bloody way, taking pictures and blogging.
Oh, a fan. Wow. Nice to meet you. I'm Terry Proudfoot, the producer.
Oh,
Are you all right, mate? Look, if you're trying to speak to me in Zygon or something, I don't know it, all right? Yeah, okay. Shirley, here's that fag. I hope you've got a light.
Lizard, stop it, you prat. You look like a bloody idiot. All right, that's it. Slap him, Kenneth, if he's on good.
My pleasure, Gary. Come here, you fat birdhead.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right. I'm all right. Gary, call him off. Gary, I'm all right. If he hits me, I'll sue.
All right, Ken. Leave him be.
Aw, I'm never getting burned.
So, Shirley, Godfrey didn't seem to take the news too well earlier, did he?
And you're telling me you knew nothing about it at all?
Swear to God, Shirl, first thing I knew was an email first thing this morning from someone calling themselves Silver Nemesis. It just said, you might want to read this, with a link on it. I'd been up about 2 minutes, hadn't had a coffee, and just clicked it without thinking. I read the blog and thought this Nemesis geezer was having a joke, that it was a mock-up or something. So I googled it. Bang. It's all over everywhere. My phone won't stop ringing with people wanting quotes or to know how involved I'm likely to be. Stanley Sodden Redfern won't answer my calls, so the only information I can go by is what the internet lot have, which is what Costner said last night. I tried someone at BBC Worldwide an hour ago, and when they asked who was calling, I told them. They just laughed and hung up.
Excuse me, mate, can I help you?
Maybe you can't. What's your name, officer?
I'm Gary Spleen. I'm not an officer, I'm a security guard.
Aha! A security guard, eh? Keeping things secure, eh? Like, secrets, eh?
Sorry, maybe I can help. I'm Terry Proudfoot. I'm sort of in charge around here.
Proudfoot, huh? Pride in one's feet, huh? Do a lot of dancing, Running, Maybe running and hiding,
Did your ambulance bang into a tree? Have you got a poorly brain? I think I know what's up with him. He's a bit thick.
Not I, madam. Not I. I'm simply on a mission seeking out the one they call Butcher.
Oh, that explains it then. It's all right, lads. He is brain damaged. He's just trying to find the other members of his club.
I'm sorry, mate. It's a closed set. I can tell Godfrey you're looking for him if you want. What should I say your name is?
Oh, just tell him this. The Hand of Omega sends his love and hopes to see him very soon.
I'll make sure and do that. So, we'll see you later then, Mr. Hand.
Did he jump over a fence right next to a perfectly good gate? That was actually open?
Yes, Ken. Yes, he did. And that is one of the things it teaches to look out for in a security procedures MVQ level 2 in the attempting to identify complete mong jobs module. So you can just tick that one off for now.
Nice one, Gary.
Hang on. Silver Nemesis. Hand of Omega. That can't be a coincidence. Can it?
Mr. Proudfoot? Mr. Proudfoot!
Sorry, mate. Smoko over. Back to the phones and the grindstone I go. Come on, Shirley. Dave said Godfrey's legendary crotch rot means they either need a new pair of strides on set or a seamless patch in the ones he's wearing.
The fun never stops.
But it's important. It's about... Ow!
I warned you, didn't I? He's clearly got a lot on his mind and doesn't need you pestering him with rubbish and about unit dating or whatever.
No, it's not like that. I really need to tell him.
Ah, shut up.
Oh, all right. I'll leave him be.
But maybe the combined forces of online fandom can provide the answer.
No. You have me lost, David. I have no idea what on earth would be my motivation in this situation.
You have no... Oh,
Godfrey, the Sinigan has you at gunpoint. Comequick is lying unconscious on the floor, the timer's about to go into the red, and when it goes to zero, a galvanium bomb will go off and kill every carbon-based life force in the quadrant, including Earth. That is your motivation. It seems that all hope is lost. You know that you must throw yourself at the creature and hope you survive the blast of its weapon long enough to throw the switch and stop the countdown.
Right then. So you're wanting heroic self-sacrifice then?
If that helps you get into character, Godfrey, then yes. It's fairly straightforward. If you follow the script and say the lines, then we should be okay. Is the Synergon out of the costume fitting yet? We need to shoot this today, people. Come on.
Was the Sinner, whatever it was, being played by that bloke with the ginger hair and beard? Who looked a bit like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. On a proper hard come down.
Oh yes, he could be described that way, Mark. Why do you ask?
He left a message for you. He said that his agent had been on the blower saying that the finance department had told him that he wouldn't get paid until next month if he was very lucky. He said there was no way you were sitting around here dressed like, well, use your imagination for what he said he looked like. But the upshot was, he's gone.
What? When was this?
About 1/4 hour ago. His mate picked him up in a van around the front about 5 minutes ago.
What are we going to do? We have to get this in the can today. We just have to. Where the hell am I going to get an extra at zero notice?
If I may interject...
Not now, Godfrey. This is serious. I don't need any of your sarcastic comments, thank you.
All I was going to say was that if young Mark here is a production assistant, and as I understand, started out as a deputy stage manager at the theatre, if my sources are to be believed...
How the hell did you...
Then surely his equity membership is up to date.
By Jove, Godfrey. You're right. Mark!
You can get stuffed, the pair of you. I'm not putting that sweaty old ratty-ass thing on. It smells worse than Billy. Sorry, Mr. Oldroyd.
Oh, but you must, Mark. It's important. It's essential. It's vital. It's...
Not bloody happening.
What's going on? I piss off for 5 minutes for a fag and Dave's crying, Mark's white as a sheet, and Godfrey looks like he's about to break into a sweat.
The bloke who's playing the monster has done one. Dave and Godfrey want me to put the costume on and play the bloody part, just because I've got equity.
Ha! Well, sorry, mate, but right now that suit needs to be filled, and by someone with an equity card.
You've got to be kidding. It's Elvis, that costume. It's about 30 layers of latex and pen, and God knows how many people have worn it since it was last washed.
Easy. 33.
What?
It's been used a total of 33 times, and it's never been washed.
Oh, well, that's okay then. I'll just jump in, shall I? Oh, hang on. I've not had any jabs for malaria or stinky, fetid old sweat disease, so I'll have to say no.
Look, mate, we need to do this, and I need you to do it. I've got a 20 in my pocket and a bottle of scotch in the car. You won't be recognised, because it's a full head mask. Just put the smelly suit on, wave the gun at Badgerface, he'll jump over and knock it out of your hand. Dave will shout cut, and we can all go home and do something we'd rather be doing. In your case, with a bottle of scotch and a £20 note you didn't have with you when you arrived today.
It's not fair, you know.
Indeed, I know how fair life can be all too well.
All right, I'll do it. Oh, God, this stinks.
Dave, I was wondering if you would mind my having some input into this thing's resolution?
Would it make the slightest difference if I did mind, Godfrey?
None whatsoever. I was thinking that rather than simply jumping across the control room and simply knocking the gun from Synergon's hand, the Doctor might actually wrestle the beast to the floor. I mean, it might make for a more interesting action sequence, don't you think, Dave?
Godfrey, you are a horrible, horrible man.
Don't be quiet, you old woman!
What's going on? What are you all talking about?
Nothing.
Oh dear.
You know, we could sit around for ages debating it or just get on with shooting it while there are still hours left in the day. What do you say, David?
Okay, everyone. We need a very quick repositioning on camera 2. The Doctor is going to wrestle with the Synergon to the floor to take his gun. Godfrey, he's only a boy, for God's sakes.
Oh, I know.
Will someone please tell me what's going on?
Just don't worry, Mark. Can we have a grey crash mat just that side of that control panel, please? Don't want anyone getting hurt.
What?
Okay, everyone, positions, please. Episode. Someone needs to work out roughly the right episode code for the Nerd Fans Continuity Benefit. Scene 22, take one. The Doctor needs to stop the countdown. The button is on the other side of the gun wielding Synergon, and his only remaining option is to wrestle the alien to the ground, take its gun, get to the button. This will form the episode one cliffhanger. So we need to shoot some close ups of the Doctor as he faces his dilemma. Right, and action. And cut. Very good, Godfrey. You managed to once again convey peril, trauma, and dilemma in the medium of distinct disinterest. Now then, let's move the Synergon into place.
Hello? Oh, I can't see anything. The eye holes in this thing are gummed up with something.
This is a wide shot. The Doctor is in frame. The camera moves around to show the Synergon pointing the gun. Mark, dear boy, if you can point the gun at Godfrey, this way a bit, that's better. Now up a bit. There. Hold that position. And now the Doctor realises his only option is to wrestle the creature to the ground.
Hey? I thought, what? He's going to jump on me? No way.
Quiet on set, please.
Oh.
Right, we'll start from your lines, Godfrey. Scene 23, take one. And action.
Yes. Well, I know you think of me as a pacifist, and I never carry a gun. But you forget one thing, Synergon. There's only one thing I hate more than carrying a gun myself, and that's other people carrying them. Have you ever been to Venus, sir?
This wasn't in the script.
Come to Daddy. See you at 5:30.
I'll see you next Tuesday.